You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Paolo Banchero, the number one pick. Chet Holmgren goes to KC. Then we got Jabari Smith going to Houston. But that's not all that happened on draft night. We got lots to talk about with you, Amin, and just kind of figuring out where the lay of the land in the NBA is right now with a lot of the fireworks with Kyrie Irving, that whole situation. But Paolo Banchero, welcome to the number one pick. That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, not a surprise at Vegas, though, right? Like, the Vegas odds all had him going number one. I believe it was going to, at one point, like, minus 300 as the line that I saw look about an hour or so before the draft. So it just goes to show, man, all these smart guys are reporting. Maybe they're not so smart. Maybe they can't tell the future. Maybe people lie to them, which, is again, is beautiful, because why would you lie about who you're going to take with the number one overall pick? What, is he going to get snatched before you pick? It's just kind of weird. But congratulations to Paolo Banchero and the Orlando Magic. And congratulations, I think, Tom, I know, you know, look, just let's embrace everybody here. Tom and I are not draft Knicks. We're going to sit here and say, well, it's the 28th pick. I really thought this was a steal. We're not going to do that stuff, right? But I really think that Houston getting Jabari Smith is going to be one of those things that resonates for years and years later. Like when you look back and you say, wait a second, you mean to tell me that Luka Doncic wasn't the number one overall pick? You mean to tell me that Kevin Durant wasn't the number one overall pick? You know, these great players that we see, Michael Jordan wasn't the number one overall pick, and someone has to sit back and say, well, it was a kind of crazy time, and, you know, Marvin Bagley really had a good workout, apparently, right? This is going to be one of those stories that we tell when we figure out that Jabari Smith
fell down to
keep saying three. Jabari, yeah. Davis, and I need to stop. 3-2-1. Jabari Smith fell to 3 to a Houston team that's already loaded with high-ceiling players.
I didn't think they were expecting to get Jabari Smith at number 3. Chet Holmgren at number 2, that's my number 1 pick. I mean, I love Chet's game. I think the fact that, yes, he's skinny, but that hasn't really stopped a lot of high-end NBA talent before. Like, the idea that Chet Holmgren is kind of injury prone, or I guess risk for injury, because how is that body going to hold up in the league? Like, man, we just saw Zion Williamson have injury-riddled start to his career. Greg, like, you can go any body type, and as long as the joints and the bones and the structures are okay and sound, I think we're just speculating at this point, is whether someone has a body type that is not going to last in the NBA. So, I'm
one of the people who thinks it's a fair criticism, or fair concern, I should say, not a criticism, fair concern. Because the comp people like to use for Holmgren is Kevin Durant, who has been remarkably durable. I know he had the Jones fracture in OKC, and then obviously the ruptured Achilles. But overall, he's been a very durable player throughout a career. But Durant is a much more fluid perimeter player. When Durant, 7 feet tall, moves, and even when he was 19 years old, he moved like someone who was 6'4 or 6'5. He didn't move like a tall guy. He moved like a little guy. And so I can envision him in situations playing and defending against people of that stature. When I look at Chet Holmgren, he does not move like a little guy. He moves like a big, a little quicker than a regular big, but a big nonetheless. So as a result, you can't put him at the 3 and say, we'll be fine. He's going to have to play the 4 and the 5. And, you know, there's going to be...
Dude, he averaged, what, like just about four blocks a game last year in Gonzaga. When he was on the floor, he turned layups into mid-range jumpers. Mm-hmm. There was a stat I saw from The Athletic that with Chet Holmgren on the floor, opposing offenses shot 42% at the rim. I'm not saying when he was nearby, but just in general, just his very presence on the floor... it was Rudy Gobert like, right? And so yes. The question is, can he develop enough offensive game to compensate for that shot? Because I think his shot blocking ability, even if he's not moving as well as Kevin Durant, I mean, who moves like Kevin Durant, right? Like, we're comparing him.
But it's what saves Kevin Durant. That's my point. What saves Kevin Durant's body is that he moves like that, and he operates in spaces where the physical element is lessened compared to if I'm operating only in that box right there. Man, you're going to have to take some abuse. You're going to have to take some physical abuse, and sometimes it's by great players like Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. And sometimes it's like by Clint Capella, right? Like those guys, just because they're not quote unquote as good, doesn't mean they don't hurt still. Dwayne Dedman hurts, right? Like banging with Dwayne Dedman hurts. Banging with Mason Plumlee hurts. And, you know, that's the question is, does this guy have, with those very narrow hips and a very narrow shoulder, does he have the ability to gain the requisite muscle mass to counteract the physical beating he's going to take in the league? I know we're talking positionless basketball, and it's just a bunch of 6'8 guys, like, but it's not. PJ Tucker is 6'6, so he's positionless basketball. But Tom, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to get hit by PJ Tucker. It hurts. No. It's not like getting hit by like Steph Curry.
Yeah, but I still love this upside for him and the length. I think even if he does get pounded in the chest, and what you're talking about is not necessarily like taking one hit to the chest. You're talking about 48 minutes of having Kawhi Leonard and just basically anybody with ball handling skills coming down the lane and going into your chest. Like how long can you do that for if you're that size? I just think he has the length and his basketball IQ, his motor, all of that stuff, to me, I think more than makes up for it. So at number two, like for OKC, I think it fits with their organizational plans that they just want talent. Mm-hmm. They want length. They want
IQ.
They want projects.
They're high on IQ guys.
Exactly. They're very high on IQ. So for Jabari Smith to fall at number three, I think Houston is doing backflips because when you talk about his shooting ability and his size and his talent that he already showed at SEC for Auburn, I mean, this dude is ready to go. He's ready to play. He's not going to be Rashard Lewis. That's the comp for him overnight. But I think for him, going into an organization that already has Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green and the ability to grow, it's not an organization that needs him to produce right away. And so I think he is still very much a raw prospect, but I really love his game. And I actually think Paolo Banchero is going to be a really good NBA player. To me, he feels a lot like Blake Griffin without the sky high lob city explosiveness vertical, but he has a lot of that game where you have questions about his defense, but he's going to score for you. He's really talented offensively. He's got some passing ability. And he's really strong, really strong. Got a great spin move and an ability. I watched him a lot because as an ACC guy, I watched him quite a bit. And for me, I probably would have gone Chet 1, Jabari 2, and then Paolo 3. Because for me, Banchero, same questions as Julius Okafor and DeAndre Ayton is if you're going to get a big, I want a guy who can defend. And right now, we just don't see that with Paolo Banchero. So have we spent already more time talking about these guys than we expected?
Well, and we buried the lead. I did not expect you to go this long without mentioning Jake LaRavia from Wake Forest getting drafted in the first round. I thought for sure that was what the whole show was going to be about.
Yo, the Nets should just get rid of Kyrie Irving because they got Alondis Williams on a two-way. Alondis Williams, the ACC player of the year, who was 23 years old, playing in the ACC for Wake Forest, a transfer that nobody thought was going to average, 15 for Wake. He ends up winning ACC player of the year and dominating, and the Nets get him on a two-way. So fire it up. All right. Kevin Durant, you already have your co-pilot there on a two-way, Alondis Williams, the reigning ACC player of the year. LaRavia, did you see the story about him, about Jake LaRavia, what happened?
This is the story. I pronounced his name LaRavia because I just assumed he's Italian and they wouldn't have an Ray sound in an Italian name. So, yeah, I don't know shit about him, Tom.
So the thing about him is, he was, if you looked a couple weeks ago, Googled his name, you'd find out that he was 22 years old. And every article, every media person that wrote about him was writing as if he was 22.
Mm-hmm.
He's 20 years old to me.
How does that happen?
How does Buddy Hield just like randomly say, oh, I'm actually this age? Like, how does this happen? Well, like, it just, someone at Google or someone put into his Wikipedia that he was 22 years old, and then everyone had him as like a late second round pick. And then Jake had to have his agent, I mean, calling different teams and being like, yo, he's 20 years old. He's not 22.
Okay, so this is funny because when I used to scout, and I like a lot of schools on the kid's bio page will put his date of birth. But if they didn't,
I would call
the school and say, yo, what's his date of birth? Or like when I'm on my official visit, like, I don't have a DOB for him. Can you help me out with that? Like the idea that they would just get it from Google, they just trust Google. Man, we'll get into it a little later, but now I can see why certain teams don't draft well or give it up on the draft altogether.
So then when Jake Ravia has his age corrected to 20, suddenly he's a late first round pick. And so we're going to talk a lot about the age of the draft and why teenagers matter or don't matter and the value of going in on the draft. But look, I think the biggest story of the night, as I was like boarding a plane yesterday to go see family, the news drops that Shams Charania is reporting that Kevin Durant is going to be mulling his options and monitoring the Kyrie Irving situation. And Kyrie Irving is
Chris Mullin.
He still has the ability to pick up his option, the $36 million player option for next season, Kyrie Irving. And if he doesn't pick up that player option, he can become a free agent, in which case the Nets could, you know, sign him to a new deal, a long-term deal, or he could go sign with who? I mean, like, who is Kyrie Irving going to sign with if he's going to be a free agent?
Well, let me say this, Tom. Maybe he doesn't even need to contact a realtor, because guess who was wheeling and dealing on draft night? Everyone's Ding favorite dong. Hopefuls, the New York Knicks. Yeah, they acquired the rights to Jalen Duren, slapped him onto Kemba Walker, and sent him on off into to Detroit.
Cap space, right? To Detroit.
To the Clippers in cap space. They also had another deal. Hold on. These are the things I wish I had.
Yeah, they ended up trading the 11, Kemba, and a bunch of second round picks. They sent it away in like three successive deals.
They also sent Usman Jang, who was their pick, to Oklahoma City. Or was that all part of that same deal? I thought that was a separate deal. This is the problem with draft night, folks. It's just like, oh, it turns out this is all one deal. Like, okay, whatever. Or it's like, no, those are all 3 million different separate little deals. Point being, Knicks traded everything draft-related for this year in order to clear roughly about $25 million in cap space, which, to be fair, Tom, is still a little bit less than what they need if they want to go out and get Kyrie.
But they can make it happen. I mean, you see what it always happens in the league, where they don't have cap space now, but they'll find a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder to eat some more cap space and take on a first round pick for the privilege of taking on a Kemba Walker salary. They can do that. And so the Knicks are opening up some cap space. I suspect that cap space is going to go to, you know, Jalen Brunson, if you're going to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are run by Leon Rose, who is Jalen Brunson's agent before he took the job for the Knicks. And also the Knicks, this is just classic, the Knicks hired Rick Brunson to their coaching staff.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson's father.
To be fair, Rick Brunson is a former Knick. Rick Brunson played for the Knicks when Tom Thibodeau was an assistant coach. Rick Brunson has played on several teams where Tom Thibodeau was an assistant coach. So he does have, he has ties, and he's been a coach in this league. This isn't like we hired, whoever to come coach. This is a guy who had a career coaching prior to his kid being in the NBA, and prior to anyone knowing that his kid would even be in the NBA or be good. So that's the devil's advocate. Also, they hired Rick Brunson, and they're trying to sign Jalen Brunson. Like,
that's exactly right. So, look, we had Jake Fisher from BR on Basketball Illuminati this week because we wanted to have someone who is a newer national reporter, who's come onto the scene by breaking the James Harden
desire to get traded.
He was all over that before a lot of the national media, the more credentialed national media, were really reporting that strongly. And so we had Jake on, and he's essentially, you know, on draft night saying, like, some of these trades, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't really get, like, why certain teams are making this trade. For the Knicks, there was an amazing tweet, I mean, where Jake Fisher just said, hey, I think the Knicks might be trading this pick. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And that's for a lot of people in the draft. And I think executives too, it's an absolute mess draft night is. And we had Jake Fisher on the podcast this week to talk about just the media climate and why certain teams put things out there and how many times he's been used as a source, or a source has tried to use him to try to get the their agenda. A player wants to get his voice out there, a stance he wants out, or he wants a certain player traded to his team. And this stuff happens all the time in the league. So when Shams Charania is reporting for The Athletic that Kevin Durant is mulling his options and monitoring the Kyrie Irving situation, I think this is all part of the same machine, is that Kyrie Irving is trying to build leverage as much as he can to force his way into a long-term max deal contract, whether it's with the Nets or with someone else, and try to get his money, try to get his wishes. And so for me, this seems like a lot of posturing from Kyrie Irving's camp to try to get a deal, a long-term deal, max deal. But man, if you're the Nets, what a disaster, man. This is just an absolute, like, you wake up every day and have another headline talking about how much Kyrie Irving has hijacked your organization and hijacked this situation. Ooh. And I don't understand, like, if you're the Nets, how much do you believe that Kevin Durant is seriously going to make a trade to make?
That's the part. The Kyrie Irving part is not devastating. Devastating part is if you say, all right, screw you, go sign wherever, go to the Knicks, have fun.
Yeah.
Have a nice life.
Go sign with the Kings. Go sign with Detroit. Have fun. Great.
The part that is dangerous and scary is that Durant mulling his options, right? That's what makes the Nets kind of like, oh my God, what are we going to do here? And I don't know, do you watch this show on Amazon Prime, Tom? It's called The Boys.
No, I don't.
All right. So it's basically a show that's supposed to be a realistic view of what the world would really be like if there were superheroes, right? People who have these incredible superpowers, they wouldn't be virtuous and great, right? They'd be cool for the cameras and for the press, like, yeah, I'm a hero. But in reality, like, don't meet your heroes. They'd be like degenerates and narcissists and things like that. And so the biggest superhero is this guy named Homelander, and he's basically Superman. X-ray vision and laser eyes and flies and super strong and hears things miles and miles away. And he's an incredibly, incredibly narcissistic kind of like asshole. And so everybody around him walks on eggshells because if he hears you, like, said, I don't know how this guy, well, I don't like how this guy's doing stuff, he will literally kill you, like, just for disagreeing, right? I feel like Kevin Durant is like Homelander. And the Nets are all walking around eggshells like, oh, can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? They have to ask for permission to go to the bathroom, pretty much, proverbially speaking, because they're worried. And I don't even know if Durant is doing it on purpose, right? I don't know. I don't think he walks around wielding that power. But it is a concern nonetheless to how they run the team. And take Kyrie Irving, someone who has played minimally and had a plethora of issues across his tenure there. And the other team would say, like, yeah, I can't commit this kind of money to this guy for that long. And, like, this is a deal or we move on and we'll make do. But you can't, when your best player has the ability through a well-timed leak, talking about leverage, a well-timed leak, just to say, mulling over our future. That literally sounds alarms throughout the entire building. And it prevents the Nets, I think, from running the team the way they want to run it.
So do you think Kevin Durant actually wants out if Kyrie leaves? Because to me, I don't feel comfortable with Kyrie as my co-pilot, period. Well, the fact that if Kyrie wants to leave, I'm like, how is that situation as more stable than the alternative? Because he's seen it. He's been there.
Yeah.
He sees that this guy is not reliable. 103 games played over the last 3 years for the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving. He's played in 13 of the 20 playoff games. He's created so many headlines and so many headaches. And like the Brother Muzzone tweet from the other day on Monday morning, we broke it down. All of the details of why Kyrie Irving might be saying or tweeting out a Brother Muzzone GIF from The Wire. We broke it down on Basketball Illuminati, so you don't have to wonder anymore. We break it all down for you, what he might be trying to say with that clip. I mean, I'm tired of it if I'm Kevin Durant. I know he decided to link up with Kyrie Irving, and I'm tired of it. And then the other problem is, all right, so let's say Kyrie Irving decides I'm out. What can the Nets do?
Well, see, here's the problem. In essence, what's going on is this. It's a very delicate game of chicken. With concentric games of chicken, with the, one within the other. Kyrie Irving is doing all this. I believe he wants to be back in Brooklyn. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to go to the Knicks. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to be back. He just wants his money. So he's doing all this. In essence, it's posturing to get his money.
Yes.
But the Nets don't want to pay him that money, so he has to threaten to leave, and the Nets are kind of like, well, then go ahead. If you got to do what you got to do. Now, what complicates is the second game of chicken now with Durant. Where Durant says, well, if you let Kyrie go, well, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. So now the Nets have to have three options. Option one is give Kyrie his money. Ensure then that Durant doesn't mull over anything, and we're good. Option two is you don't give Kyrie his money, but you come up with a damn good alternative, right? Durant's mulling over options. Okay, we don't have Kyrie, but we got this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy, right? For instance, just throwing it out there, we got Brogdon and Miles Turner. And Durant says, okay, all right. I mulled it over. I'll stay, right? Option three is you don't give Kyrie his money and you don't have an immediate alternate plan and you just roll the dice and say, I hope Durant plays it cool and just gives us time in order to get this thing right. And that's a very risky option. So they've got to figure out whether Kyrie's bluffing, whether Durant's bluffing, and whether they're willing to call that bluff, both of them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, right? Like, what team do the Clippers have enough to make that deal?
No. You name me a player on the Clippers, not name Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, you'd absolutely die for. Norman Thomas?
Norman right? Powell?
No, excuse me. Norman Thomas is a high school in New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Let's go through this, okay? Because Kyrie has a wish list of six teams, according to ESPN. Six teams is wish list. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavs and the 76ers, is there anyone on those teams that you could see a young player or an all-star caliber player that you could see a deal framework built around? Like, if the 76ers said Tyrese Maxey for Kyrie Irving, then you think, oh shit, we just saw the whole James Harden Kyrie Irving thing. Okay, so that
the Sixers one is bizarre. That he would list that as a team is nothing short of bizarre.
If we take this at face value, whether this is just posturing, right? We're taking it at face value that Kyrie actually wants to join the 76ers, okay? The Mavs, is Jalen Brunson, if they do a sign and trade with Jalen Brunson, is that possible? Maybe. The Miami Heat, Tyler Hero?
Right.
But you already have Kyle Lowry. I mean, I guess they could flip him and try to make that work. The Knicks.
I'll tell you, it would probably be Lowry and, because Hero doesn't make enough alone. So you're going to have to make the salaries
match. Yeah, they need some cap.
So it would probably be Kyle Lowry. The Knicks?
No.
It's just a no. It's a resounding no. Same thing with the Lakers. Just a resounding no. Unless you talk Anthony Davis. Are we talking Anthony Davis? I'm assuming not, right?
The Nets are not taking back Russell Westbrook. They're not.
So it's like you just listed a bunch of places. Like it's like me saying, these are the finalists to go out on a date with me. It's Rihanna, it's Beyonce, and it's Scarlett Johansson. All right? Like there's zero chance of any of those people going out with me. So what are we doing? We're doing practice.
Let's talk about the Miami Heat here, because I think the Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry package, I still don't do that if I'm the Miami Heat. I don't, because I don't believe in Kyrie Irving's commitment to winning a championship. I don't. And for the Brooklyn Nets, they didn't have a culture to hold him accountable. They tried last year by basically saying, we're not going to play you because we're not playing part-time players. We want full-time players. And then halfway through the season, they caved and they were like, yeah, actually, we kind of need you. Like James Harden and Kevin Durant are not happy. We're establishing a culture around the superstars. And if you want to play, fine, we'll let you play. The Miami Heat both have the culture to hold Kyrie Irving accountable. But does Kyrie Irving respect that enough and have someone in that locker room that he respects enough to be like, yeah, I'm gonna make basketball, be professional about this, and want to win a championship and do everything I can to win that championship? Does Jimmy Butler do that for him? Does Bam Adebayo and Udonis Haslem, Pat Riley, and that organization?
Idris.
What are we calling him?
Idris, okay. Adebayo. I don't know this. Who's this Bam? I don't know. Idris Adebayo.
Excuse me. I apologize for my mistake. I mean, I still don't do that deal if I'm the Heat. I just don't gamble like that. I don't. I'd rather have Tyler Hero and Kyle Lowry than the prospect of Kyrie Irving being in the headlines every single day.
Because I think he's a little different from your regular wayward talent, right? Like, a regular wayward talent is just like, I haven't put it all together or just doesn't get along with people or whatever, you know? And this is a guy who's like,
Jimmy Butler is a good example of this. Yeah, just like,
yeah, just rubs people the wrong way, but like he really does want to win, and he really does wants to play the right way and is committed or whatever, right? Or even a guy who wasn't, right? Think about Dion Waiters before he got to Miami. A little overweight and probably not taking this as seriously as he should, but you get down there and you get serious about it. I think about Kyrie and the way he thinks about basketball and the way he thinks about coaching. The way he thinks about how organizations are run. This is a guy who believes he's above the structure of the NBA, right? When he says, oh, we're all coaches. When he says, when he suggests during the bubble, why don't we start our own league? Like, this isn't someone who's like used to taking orders.
I'm looking when Kyrie Irving said in his exit interview, I look forward to managing this franchise alongside Kevin Durant. It's like
Durant and Sean Marks and Joe Tsai.
Bro, like, you're a free agent.
Right.
Like you're not even committed long term, and you're saying I'm going to manage this franchise. Like, that's the guy we're dealing with here.
Right. So
those delusions.
So when you talk about Miami, all Miami is following orders. It's the most regimented team we have in the league when it comes to this type of stuff. Oh, you want input? Here's some input. Get the hell out of my office. Right. Yeah. These are the people who like looked at LeBron dead in the face and said, "No, we're going to treat you like everybody else." So to me, it would be a massive stretch. Kyrie Irving would fit into Heat culture. I'm not saying he's not a winner. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying, in the same way that I say that about myself, Tom, I've said, I admire the way the Miami Heat run things. I could never work there. because I know myself. Mm-hmm. I color outside the lines too much for their liking. And Kyrie, there are no lines. He's just abstract art. So it's just, it's a terrible fit. But it sounds nice.
Let's switch gears here for a second and talk about a really fascinating story written by our friend Kevin Arnovitz at ESPN. One of the most brilliant writers, I forget about sports, one of the most brilliant writers we have in media, writing about the draft and why the Phoenix Suns, who just came off an embarrassing defeat by the at the hands of the Dallas Mavericks. The Phoenix Suns, James Jones, the former Miami Heat champion, they call him Champ, going on the record with Kevin Arnovitz, talking about not just like, oh, here's what we're thinking with our picks, here's what we're thinking on draft night. No, the overall philosophy about their organization is that essentially, your former employer at the Phoenix Suns is punting on the draft. They don't believe in extending any sort of extra attention or resources or money on teenagers and prospects. The Phoenix Suns have looked at the draft and said, it is too much of a crapshoot, and we are not going to look at the draft as a real way to upgrade our organization. We're all about winning here. And if you can't help Chris Paul win a championship and Devin Booker win a championship right away, then we're not interested. And I thought that was really, really interesting that a team would not only think this way, but also say it to the masses. It's one thing to have it, have this philosophy internally, but to go on the record at ESPN and say, yeah, we don't care about this. One of the three ways you can acquire talent in the draft, in free agency, and in trades, we're basically crossing one off the list. 33% of those avenues off the list.
It's very similar, although it is the polar opposite, of what happened with Sam Hinkie, of the Sixers' decision to go super tank and get just give me more and more picks, give me more and more wax at the piñata. And Pablo Torre writing an ESPN The Magazine cover story about it and naming it The Process, right? Trust the process. The only difference is Sam Hinkie, I believe, did not go on the record to talk to Pablo about that story. That's the only difference. But it's the same thing. It's like this bold strategy that you're allowing to be the subject of a mass media article. It's a very well-written piece. Kevin Arnovitz, as you said, one of the best writers out there. But it is staggering, Tom, because to me, it doesn't scream avant-garde or based in some sort of like, well, actually. To me, it screams, we're broke and we have to decide what we're going to invest in. We have a limited amount of resources. We have to decide what we're going to invest in. And we've made the decision we're going to invest in pro personnel. And that's fine. It's fine if you're doing this as an opportunity, not opportunity cost, but as a kind of an either or conundrum. Then yes, it is fine to say.
It seems like a fiscal decision is that we need to downsize our scouting department and just focus on pro.
Much like divesting out of having a G League franchise.
Yeah.
Like, that never really pans out. And I'm like, well, I don't know. If I look at Toronto and I look at San Antonio and I look at Miami and I look at, hell, even the Clippers of late, and I look at the Warriors, I see teams that are getting great value out of it. And Miami's a franchise, you could make that argument about, well, they don't really value the draft as much as some other teams do. But the reality is, first of all, it's the easiest way to get cheap talent that can actually be good, right? You get cheap talent at the G League, but the chances of one of them being a superlative is astronomically low. Right. Versus through the draft, you have a better chance, right? At a depressed salary for 4 years, up to 4 years. It was, you know, there were some quotes I'd love to pull up.
Here's one. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from James Jones. You're either trying to win or you're not trying to win. If you're not trying to win, you can say what you want, but you're trying to lose. You can say, quote, well, let's go slow and win later. But there are too many things between now and later. I'm going to win now, and I'm going to win later. Players know every day in the league brings them one day closer to the end of their careers, and I can't waste their days. So he also says, as an organizational mandate, they are not allowed to talk about the word potential. That is a word that is taboo in that organization. Can't say it. Instead, you have to say the word capacity.
All right, so now we're playing semantics. We're playing semantics. It's bizarre. I mean, first of all, the entire reason the organization is where it is because of Devin Booker, who was once potential. 18 years old with a nondescript career at Kentucky, right? The son of a former pro ball player who was a late bloomer on the high school scene. It was available at the damn near the bottom of the lottery. Dude, he's not there because it's not because like people, you know, there was a discount on him where he had a huge red flag. It's because of potential. He was drafted that high because of his potential. He fell that low because he was not realized potential. You can say all you want about what Chris Paul has done for his organization, and he's done a lot. Chris Paul doesn't come to the Suns if they're a 20-win team with some dude like Cam Johnson type players, guys who were five-year college players who are decent, solid role players, right? He comes there because it's an opportunity to play with a superstar. He didn't get that superstar by a trade, and he didn't get that superstar by a free agency. And there's a reason for that, Tom, because people didn't want to go to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So it's bizarre. If I guess this is what I'm saying. The messaging was, this is our current strategy. We're in win now mode. I don't have time to wait for kids to develop. I don't have time. I owe it to Chris Paul and all these older vets. We got to win this championship now. Then I think I would understand that strategy. But to have it like, no, this is how we think of the NBA overall.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, man. And you're literally just one bad injury away from that being tested. By the way, real quick, I just want to throw this out there. Not giving a damn about the draft the way you should is how you end up missing out on Tyrese Halliburton. And think about what this Suns team would look like, especially as you consider how they fell with no guard play, with Chris Paul being taken out of it. How different their prospects would have been if they had Tyrese Halliburton rather than a guy they drafted who didn't play at all and they ended up trading away and not picking up his team option.
Right. They said that they would draft Cam Johnson at six if they could.
The year they drafted Cam Johnson, they had the sixth pick. They ended up trading back down to 11 and getting Dario Saric, which I thought was a very good deal, right? You like a player. You know he's not worth this. You go extract that extra value and get some more stuff like Dario Saric, who's a good pro, and then still get the player you wanted. But they said they were prepared to take him at six if they couldn't swing that kind of deal. By the way, even at 11, many people thought that was a stretch for Cam Johnson. This is what I say to that. Imagine there's a Corolla I want to buy, and Corollas go for about $20,000. But I suspect that this Corolla in its trunk has $100,000 worth of gold in the trunk. Should I then go pay $80,000 for a Corolla?
No.
No, right? Like
you pay market value for that. Pay market value. Cam Johnson.
And then you reap the gold, right? If you take Cam Johnson at six, first of all, you're making a very small margin, assuming you're right. What if there's no gold in the trunk? What if it's just lead with gold paint on it? Meaning, you drafted the guy.
Dragon Bender.
Yeah. What if it's Jalen? Was it Jalen Smith or Jalen Jones?
Jalen Smith. Yeah.
Jalen Smith. All right. 3, 2, 1. What if it's Jalen Smith, right? You took him and it was a complete bust, right? Versus Tyrese Halliburton.
Why you just turn into Obama there? You're like,
I don't know. It's the folks goes out. They don't want to draft. They just want to buy players. But like, you have to be realistic. Yeah, you know, there's a quote in there that says, this is absolutely not a fiscal decision. This is not financially constrained or anything. I'm like, bullshit though. We know. Like, it's the thing. Like, you can lie about it to cover for your ownership, but we know the truth. He ain't Steve Ballmer. If the Clippers did this, we'd believe them, Tom, right? Mm-hmm. We would believe them. Why? Because money ain't a thing. If the Knicks, who are one of the worst run organizations, if they did this, I would believe them because money ain't a thing. I know money's a thing for that dude.
I mean, listen to this. The fact is, since 2015, since the 2015 NBA draft, there have been 20 All-Stars, okay? Of those 20 All-Stars that were drafted in those drafts since 2015, there have been 20 All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
17 of those All-Stars
mm-hmm.
that were drafted since 2015 were teenagers when they were drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not talking like last year. I'm talking for the last 8 years in the draft. The players that have developed into all-stars are 85% teenagers when they were drafted. Yep. Let me give you some names. Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, Bam Adebayo, Jared Allen, Trae Young, Ja Morant, LaMelo Ball. You go on down the list. Zion Williamson, Darius Garland, DeJounte Murray, Ben Simmons, Jalen Brown, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram. All of them, teenagers.
You forgot one of the, I don't know if you said it, Devin Booker. You're all-star. So it's ridiculous to have this as a life philosophy. It's like saying, I won't shop at Costco. Why? I don't know. I just feel like better deals are to be had at smaller stores. Like, maybe, but why would you just eliminate Costco from your shopping if you have the wherewithal?
I get it if you're skeptical about investing in a teenager when you're trying to win championships. Totally get that. The Golden State Warriors just won a championship with Kuminga and James Wiseman and Moses Moody on their roster. It can be done, right? The idea that like the draft we should just punt, to me, executives are reading that story, like you said, Amin, is, man, they're cheap. That organization is cheap. And that, like, you can gloss it all over you want that this is a philosophical decision about basketball.
Let me reiterate. Dozens of other people could speculate that they're cheap and that's why they're doing it. I'm telling you, I work there.
Yeah.
They're broke. They're broke relative to Ballmers and Dolans and Arisons of the world. This is absolutely a financial. I don't care what the reporting is. Kevin Arnovitz is one of my best friends. I don't care if Kevin says, it's not money. It is absolutely money. 100%.
So last thing on that is I do think that drafting has become more of a crapshoot because of the one and done and because of pandemic and because of agents trying to control information and teams like the Orlando Magic, according to reports, did not even get a workout or a meeting.
That's insane.
In-person meeting with Paolo Banchero before they drafted him number one overall.
You're the number one pick? What player?
And you can't even get in front of him.
That's
how much leverage is going on and games and chess matches are going on behind the scenes with the draft. And I'll just mention this. Over the last five drafts, picks 21 through 25 and 26 through 30, if you just looked at that bunch of picks, have actually performed as well, if not more, better in the NBA than picks 6 through 10. And if you look at the correlation of talent that has come out of the draft over the last five drafts, and you looked at their win shares, a metric, an all-in-one metric of player ability, if you look at win shares from 1 through 14 in the lottery, drafts 1 through 14 in the last 5 years of the draft, the output is essentially random. That if you're picking one or you're picking 14, it really doesn't seem to matter. Now, you might look at that and say, yeah, man, we're out of the draft. I look at that and say, if I have the number one pick and I can get the same type of talent on average at 14, I'm trading back and getting another asset, right? Yeah. And so when you see Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, tons of good players that you can get around 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that's the interesting upside for me is that if it is essentially flat, our ability to pick talent 1 through 14 is essentially flat, then trade back.
And if your philosophy is not in the draft, we're going to go find diamonds in the rough and develop them, ones that are available to everybody, then you have to have a more sophisticated player development program, including a G League franchise. And they don't have that. They've decided not to invest in that either. So basically you're saying, I'm just going to buy name brand people. You know what name brand is, Tom? It's always more expensive than the alternative. So maybe they aren't cheap. They're just choosing to blow money on, pros that are washed or beyond their prime.
Nikola Jovic, Pat Riley going with an international player. Wow.
Goran opened
those floodgates. Only one of those players under Pat Riley's watch. It's just not something that the Miami Heat do is invest in international players in the draft. And they do it with some guy who sounds a lot like Nikola Jokic. But yeah, he is not Nikola Jokic, and I guess the Morris brothers, we'll see what happens here with the Nikola Jovic and Nikola Jokic thing.
He's Jovic.
All right, that's it. The NBA draft is done. Paolo Banchero is the number one pick, and the Miami Heat went international with their first rounder. Interesting, very interesting. We'll see what happens, but go listen to Basketball Illuminati. Say it three times, Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati, and go check out our interview with Jake Fisher. We talk all about that Kyrie Irving tweet.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.